Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
And good afternoon. Welcome to a wacky Wednesday, the Chuck and Julie Show. Chuck Bonneville and Julie Hayden. Chuck just kind of joining us here. Truth Straight Up, the show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine, along with HappyTrees.co and Denver Synergenics. Chuck, when you come in late, that's why you don't get to be on the show. No, I'm kidding. Hey, today we've got Dave Williams, Representative Dave Williams coming up. Also, we've got Rich Wyatt coming up. I want to talk a little bit about the future of the Colorado Republican Party. As Leo says, last wacky Wednesday of 2022, but we will continue the wacky Wednesday.
Wacky Wednesday.
Days of 2023. We've got Dave with us on the show. Hey, Dave. Merry couple days after Christmas. Happy almost New Year to you. Thank you for your time.
Same to you. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, now you've got a new one at your house, right? Was it a pretty exciting Christmas or
an additional wife or what?
No.
Yeah. It was a good Christmas. You know, having very young children. You know, I don't think they fully appreciate or understand what's going on, but they're excited to, you know, all the same to enjoy unwrapping presents and family being around. So it was good.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Well, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, you know, Christy Burton Brown, the illustrious leader of the massive Republican Party defeat.
Republican loss since we became a state in 1876.
Is not going to seek the Republican Party chair position.
Wow.
And there's all kinds of names being out there. But let me, first off, I guess I would like to see you run, but it does not sound like that's something that you're going to throw your hat into, or is there a chance?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, as I've told everyone else, I really hope I don't have to. And, you know, what it comes down to is, do we have, you know, a credible, you know, conservative grassroots candidate that can get in there and do the hard work of rebuilding our party. The one thing I would say about whoever, you know, the candidate's going to be, they have to tell the truth. And the truth is, we're not going to get ourselves out of this hole in 2 years, you know, and probably
we're
not
never
four.
Getting ourselves.
No,
don't
be pessimistic.
Okay. We're never getting.
We are.
The Republican
well,
Party is.
For those of us who have a little bit of hope,
yeah.
You know, It's definitely not going to happen in the short term. And so whoever runs has to be very honest that we're stuck, you know, where we're at for a little bit here, and that we have to make incremental gains and small little gains. You know, not all that dissimilar from what we're seeing with, like, the Denver Broncos, for instance. They're not going to be a Super Bowl winning team in the next year or two, right? It's going to take
They're
a while.
Maybe we ought to get Sean Payton for a chair.
And I think you're right. And here's where Chuck and I go round and round about this. I was kind of linking the show today to a great article I saw in, I want to say AM Greatness, where it was talking about optimism is subversive, right? And I think what we need to do is weaponize optimism a little bit, because they want us to be depressed. They want us
they
to think. Even the rhinos. But I think that you're right. I mean, everything is cyclical, right? Things can.
No, they're not.
All right. Well, but I think it's either that or just give up. And then
there is the answer. That's what I've been pushing for. That's what I've been pushing. Let's dissolve the Republican Party. What's the point of it?
Right, but that's good. We're talking about that a little bit later, because I want to talk about the chairperson, because in the meantime, it hasn't been dissolved.
Dissolving chairperson.
Well, I would say Chuck's not wrong for certainly feeling that way, and because that's what it looks like. The establishment, the rhinos, the high powered donors and consultants, they've all led us to what. You know, Chuck is describing there. There's what's the point of having a Republican Party as long as those people are in charge, right? I think that would be the caveat I would have.
The point of the Republican Party is people who get together and they have at least similar views on things, and they proposed candidates for elective office. We're not going to win any offices. I mean, there's going to be like Gabe Evans, who is, you know, a worthless Republican. There's going to be a few others.
Like Stephanie Luck, and I think that.
Well, that's it. Stephanie Luck's it. Right. I mean, let's make Stephanie Luck the party. I mean, why run right. when you can't win?
No,
you can't.
What I would say is that I think it was probably, you know, a wise decision on Christie's part to yes. not seek re-election. I think she saw the fight that was going to be against her, and, you know, she's looking at our prospects long term, and she probably has a job secured somewhere else. And if you give, you know, take into account
what
all those factors,
hire her?
A consultant. Yeah.
What idiot would hire her?
Well, you know, in politics, Chuck, you know, you don't necessarily need to have success to move forward. And that boggles my mind.
It helps every once in a while.
I'm just have some names that we've heard, because I think what's going to happen is always happens. It's sort of like a battle for sort of the existential soul of the Republican Party.
No, it's a battle over a dead carcass. Okay. That's what it is.
It's over the establishment. I mean, I'm hearing names like Heidi Ganahl. I mean, I think she sort of said she's not going to, but people keep mentioning her. I've heard Tina Peters. I don't think she's officially jumped in. We've got Greg Lopez, Casper Stockham, Laurel Eimer, I think, you know, is another person who may or may not be considering it. Who do you think that what I don't really hear, except for this latest Heidi Ganahl thing, is somebody from the establishment side? Now, I think Heidi would go, I'm not establishment. But I think, I mean, you any other names you're hearing?
Yeah, I mean, I heard Steve Reams was considering it. That was reported by Colorado Sun. And then Eric Adland, you know, I guess through a spokesperson said he would not seek it.
Right.
And,
right.
Thank God, you know, as I look at it, I think there's two things going on here. I think one, we got the holidays, so no one's really all that quick to jump in.
Yeah.
But two, I mean, everyone's kind of doing the assessment that and Chuck's already come to his conclusion about the party. What's the point? But I think everyone's doing that similar assessment. Well, what's there to be gained by being the party chair? I mean, it would really be a thankless job. It was already a thankless job. Now we're going into a season where you're not really going to win all that much, you know, in the next 2 years, especially if you're focused on rebuilding the party in the way it needs to be. If you have a shot at, you know, having long-term success, I think it's a tough job that I don't know, you know, anyone that, you know, who has other options would really want to take it on, especially given the Civil War, a very open Civil War that we're facing in various counties across the state.
Well, and I think that in particular, I think, addresses some of the establishment hesitancy. I think if you're Heidi Ganahl.
You're running?
Yeah,
Oscar's putting his paw into the ring.
You're right, though. If you're Heidi Ganahl, you just had a really not fun race for the governorship where you got trounced, and I could see if you're her, you're like, I don't know that I really want to do this again. And that might be why we're not hearing very many sort of establishment names, because
what more can they do in 20 years? Bill Anschutz has destroyed the state and the party. What more does he want to do?
If I'm the establishment, you know, I kind of look at what's going on, and I see, you know, a little bit of what's ahead of us for the next 2-4 years. I almost let someone like Casper Stockham have it. I almost let someone like Greg Lopez have it.
Sure.
Because, you know, they can be in the hot seat, and when they find limited success, if at all, then the establishment can come around and accuse them of not knowing what they're doing.
We need to bring back one of the old great ones. You know, let's let Dick Wadhams have it.
That should be the question that everyone asks. When any time Dick Wadhams opens his mouth, they should ask him, how come he's not putting his neck out on the line? How come he's not?
Yeah.
And, you know, that guy does is criticize, you know, conservatives. And look, the guy hasn't found success in decades. I don't know why we listen to that guy.
Well, and then, you know, and all he says, I mean, I like Dick, but, you know, all these, they just keep blaming Trump, right? And of course, Trump's going to be on the
Trump's
ballot
gonna
again.
Trump's going to be in the grave for 40 years, and Dick Wadham
is still be blaming.
No, you know, I think, but, the, you know, this is where I think it's important to actually kind of hear what the Democrats are saying. They, in their own social media circles, they've discussed this notion of Trump being a drag on the party. And while they are not going to defend Trump, they do think it's ridiculous that establishment Republicans who, you know, led us to the worst defeat we've seen in nearly 100 years,
No. It is the worst defeat since we became a state. It is the worst defeat since we became a state. That's how good it was.
Be that as it may, the Democrats, you know, if you listen to them carefully, they think it's a bunch of hogwash to say that a guy who isn't on the ballot,
right,
with candidates who did everything they could to run away from Trump,
right,
you know, they think it's ridiculous to blame Donald Trump for the losses that we saw. And I think they're absolutely right. What you're seeing right now from Dick Wadhams and everyone else is their attempt to deflect from their own failures. And
right.
We as conservative grassroots people, yeah, we're in a tough pickle because we still have the party, and the question is, what do we do with it? And I think we're obligated as conservatives to take it over, even if Chuck thinks it's a dead carcass, which he's probably not off, right? We still need to take it over and rebuild.
Maybe we could transplant some organs or something. No, I agree. I mean, I think you're right. I mean, and here's where I think Chuck and I differ, and that is, you know, it's one thing to be realistic and see the situation for what it is, but it's kind of like to go back to the Broncos. You know, you don't have the general manager, the new ownership group saying, hey, look, we aren't going to win the Super Bowl next year, so we're dissolving the team, right? They're like, okay, we have a team. We've invested some time and effort and energy into this.
No, you don't get it. The Broncos had some close games. The Broncos won 4 games. The Republican Party has won nothing and never will win anything. It will never win a statewide office, ever.
I understand that.
So what's the point of
it? Well, so I think, though, you can build on, I mean.
Build on what?
You can build on, you know, I think one of the things they're going to focus on in Adams County and probably other counties, which is, I will point out, where Ted Trimp and the Blueprint Colorado people started was on hyper-focused, hyper-local races. And you start there. And I think that's not an unworthy goal, frankly.
You could do ballot initiatives as well, right? So regional races, you could look at nonpartisan races in the next year, and you could look at ballot initiatives that could, you know, help us win on some policy issues and build off those successes. But I would stress this to everyone. If you're looking
Phil
for
Anschutz,
us to win,
Phil Anschutz gave our good friend, the Independence Institute, had $15 million to do initiatives. What's the one initiative they did? A tenth of 1% off Phil's taxes. Oh, okay. Great. It takes money.
Well, yeah,
no money.
Look, I think it's ridiculous that people like John Caldera can go around saying it's such a wonderful victory that we've had just a smidgen of a decrease in
everybody else got 12 cents. Yeah.
Well, it is.
They need to be more aggressive for sure. But my point is that if I were to run, or if any good conservative ends up running and winning, they need to be very honest with the membership that, look,
right,
guys, this cycle, the Senate Republicans, for example, spent $15 million to lose 2 seats.
Right.
In a year that was supposed to be favorable. We are not likely to win any majorities in the next 2 years. So what we need to do is we need to focus on the things we can win, which are these regional races, as well as looking at potential ballot initiative type opportunities. And I think more importantly, getting back to basics, that finding good candidates that respect, you know, the party platform, and then realizing that we need to pivot into utilizing the rules with respect to ballot harvesting. I hate to say it.
Right,
but we're never going to win if we don't realize that the rules of the game are such.
No, and I think you're right. And I think, to me, I think, and that's what you have to do. Kind of like, again, with the Broncos, like you said, be realistic and say, okay, we're going to rebuild. We need to take a look. For instance, where I'm going with this is, I don't know, I read a column that was written earlier in December by a consultant, Patrick Davis, where once again, the establishment is gearing up to take over the party, to get rid of caucuses, to get rid of assemblies.
I think they should.
Well, they still won't. But I mean, I think that
one, that is the same thing. That is the same thing as design. Solving the party.
I read that same article from Patrick, and I think what he gets wrong about the problem is that it's the caucus. The caucus is the problem because it leads to folks that can get on the ballot that otherwise shouldn't be running for office. And his solution, and I don't know if he's thought it through, but his solution is, well, let's just go ahead and charge people, money to give to the party to get onto the ballot. And
it's like,
really,
wait
what
a minute.
He's saying, whether he realizes it or not, well, let's just have wealthy people run, for office, like
he's
Joe.
Got it.
Well, and here's the thing. More than that, David, we're going to talk with Carl Honegger about this, who he and Sarah Arnold, we had him on our show a year or so ago talking about Blueprint 2.0, where they talk about all the Democrat dark money that is being spent in Republican races. And I think that's the one thing he misses. It's like, hey, if you get rid of the caucuses, if it's just, pay to play, basically, there are a ton, Catherine Murdoch, Unite Colorado, organizations like that, a ton of groups that would be more than happy to pretend to be Republicans and fund
It's all a useless conversation at the end of the day, because the Democrats have not shown an appetite to actually get rid of the caucus, and it would take a state law to do that. Democrats, look, everyone kind of forgets about the fact that the caucus applies to all the political parties here, and there are plenty of Democrats that use the caucus system because it's a great way to get on a ballot without having to spend $200,000 on a statewide petition.
That's a good point.
So there's no point in really discussing this. Even the Republican rhinos, the establishment, when they talk about it, I don't know why they bring it up unless they've figured out which Democrats are going to be bold enough to buck their party faithful. Because the Democrats, they have their version of the grassroots that like the caucus, and they're not getting rid of it. So I don't know why it comes up, but it does.
Here's an idea. So, rather than the Republicans paying to get on the thing. Now, the Harlem Globetrotters, I took Rev out to game against the Washington Generals. They pay the Washington Generals to pretend that they're competing. We should demand
the Democrats
hundreds
pay
of
us.
Millions of dollars to pay us to pretend we're competing.
So people can be fooled into thinking there's a two-party system.
Yeah, once in a while, when I see the school board and do a dunk, and they should pay us hundreds of millions for that.
I mean, at the end of the day, if there's any hope for the party, we have to figure out how to collect ballots. During the actual period, the 3 weeks, and we have to be extremely ruthless on how we frame our opposition. Right now, you have a lot of Republicans that don't want to throw a punch.
Right.
And if you don't want to throw a punch in a boxing match, you're going to lose.
Right.
I mean, it shouldn't be a surprise. Well,
we're a punching bag. Punching bags don't punch back.
He's right. Chuck is absolutely right. We just take it.
Yeah. What about, because I was reading about this today, too, this whole approval voting thing. I mean, there's this other weird group of people here in Colorado. And again, Colorado is like the experiment, the lab for all of these horrible ideas, because it kind of started here, as I understand it, which is essentially a jungle primary, right, where it's just ranked system voting. Do you see that gaining any? I mean, I know there's a big push. I think it'd be horrible, but I think there's a push on it. Do you see that gaining any traction?
Sure.
Or what do you say?
I mean, the answer is maybe. The answer is maybe. And let me point out why. I mean, our friends at the Western Conservative Summit, they do approval voting. I don't know if people realize that, but when they do their straw poll for candidates, they allow you to vote as many times as you want for whoever you want listed on their ballot. So they're believers in that, and there are some there are some arguments for it. I think ultimately, if we want to reform our election system, we should have a runoff system like what you would see in Georgia. You need 50% to win, and if people don't get it on that first round, then there's a runoff where people can go make their case. Again, the top two vote getters. But I don't think we should be having people vote as many times as they want on one ballot. I think a runoff system to where you have to get 50% in order to win makes the most sense. Would it cost a lot of money? Sure, but you can't put a price on our elections, and nor should you.
No, but what elections?
Well,
we
some
don't have elections. That's what you guys don't get. There are no elections.
Here's one thing, though, I was thinking, because Chuck's whole thing is dissolve the Republican Party, and then we can all be kind of super sleuth Democrats, right? And
not
kind
super
of
sleuth, joint tech.
I mean, the other option for Chuck is you could do something similar to what they do, I think, in Nebraska, where there are no partisan elections. They're all just candidates that get on the ballot, and then they market themselves however they want. I think that's what Nebraska does. So no statewide elected official actually has an R or a D officially.
No, they
next
do.
To their name.
They have a unitary. They have a unitary legislature, but they do have people running as R's and D's. There's a Republican Party. In fact, it just got taken over by the grassroots. Ricketts ran.
Do they have it on Chuck? Do they have it on the ballot though?
Yes,
my understanding
yes.
it's all nonpartisan.
No, they have it on the ballot. They have it on the ballot.
But why
do we have to have a phony democracy at all?
Well, we could just have Twitter. We have the deep state. Yeah. We just have the deep state manipulating all of us.
Need a phony democracy.
It's a holiday season.
Let's start an oligarchy. Let's do an oligarchy.
What back to the approval voting and the rank voting, though. I could see if you're a Democrat, though, that could backfire, because I think Colorado is not as blue as they like to think. And so if we could vote in their elections and fiddle in their elections.
Well, you got it. So this is, I think Chuck would agree with me on this. When you're talking about these discussions, right, you can't necessarily talk about them in a vacuum, right? Right now, the Democrats control everything, near supermajorities everywhere. And so that debate about approval voting, that's going to be waged amongst the Democrats. And so you do have different factions within the Democrat Party, where you have the more quote unquote moderate ones and the more leftist ones. And then both sides are going to look at this, and they're going to look at it from the lens of, will this help me have more power? Me and my faction, will it help me get more power? And if it harms one of those factions, they ain't going to do it. They're just going to fight about it, you know, but not actually move forward and just.
Well, and here's what I think you're absolutely right on that. And I think the establishment Democrat Party does not see it working for them. If it did, I think, because we have Ted Trimpa on the show and we talked to him, I think we'd hear people like Ted Trimpa talking about it, right? And I mean, he wants to get rid of the Electoral College and things like that. And you know, he'll talk about that.
Get rid of the Republic.
But he does. But they don't talk about that. So I think you must be right there that the Democrat Party. So all of the talk about it is kind of moot because they aren't going to let us have it anyway.
If the situation was reversed, if Republicans were, you know, in charge or in power, then you might have the Democrats talk more about that as a way to get their people more seats. But I suspect since they just control everything, why bother with it?
Yeah,
Why bother? Well, let me, Dave, in the last little bit we have with you here, how awful, so we have, let's see, starting on Monday, can't use plastic bags at the grocery store without being charged for them. I can tell you right now, that's going to be a nightmare. Eggs, I paid like $6 for eggs for Christmas breakfast, right? But all of the eggs starting on Monday have to come from, well, I guess they have a year to phase it in, but cage-free farms. And that was just this past legislative session. How awful do you think it's going to be at the state capitol this year? But now that Jared Polis doesn't have to worry about running for re-election.
Or anybody.
You know, I don't underestimate. So the Democrats in charge, they're going to do whatever they can, you know, to try and keep things in their perspective in check, so to speak. Right. So your Ted Trimpas of the world will tell you. Right. You know, their biggest concern is overreach. And so I guarantee you the leadership is going to try and rein those people in. But, you know, reining them in compared to what, right? I mean, to us, anything those guys do is going to be crazy, you know, to the left. And it's going to take away our freedoms or increase the prices of you know,
everything.
The cost of living. So I think it's from our perspective as a Republican, a conservative one anyway. It's going to be crazy. You're going to have folks that are going to offer all sorts of crazy bills that just harm our way of life, and it's going to be out of control. And your Democrats are going to try and do whatever they can to make it sound reasonable as possible. And you know, the sad thing about it is they know that we can't win a majority in 2 years. So they're poised to just go nuts.
Well, not only that, I think, really,
of all the places on earth, California is one of the most beautiful, has more resources, has more incredible harbors and everything else, and they've destroyed it. There are 250,000 people moving out of heaven. How long do you think it's going to take for these jerk Democrats to destroy Colorado? Not long.
I think it's a part of the plan, right? I mean, the people that are moving are your producers. They're your conservatives. They want us gone. You know, they want to make life miserable, and then we go to places like Tennessee or Florida or Texas or wherever, and they can continue to have the stranglehold that they have. And yeah, I guess they don't care in the end that it's going to bankrupt us and we're going to be in lots of trouble, but they don't believe that. They believe they're marching towards utopia, and if they just pass their bills, we'll leave.
Well, I worry about things like, for instance, charter schools. And we're going to spend billions of dollars more, I think, on the homeless who aren't homeless.
The left can destroy. Cuba, in a lot of ways, is a beautiful country. I mean, that's a hellhole. They can turn anything into a hellhole. That's what they're good at. That's what the left came up with.
Insurance premiums under Colorado and Jared Polis's Colorado health system, insurance premiums are going up again. So that's not where. And I mean, nothing works. And I guess you're right, Dave. What I was going to say is that also the problem we also have is the media, I think, in Colorado is so awful that they won't cover it, right? So you're not going to know until you go to the grocery store that the price of eggs just skyrocketed.
That's an important point. And I would, if I run or if anyone else runs and wins to become chair, I think we have to completely change how we approach and address the media. And, my idea is quite simple, and it's basically not to engage them and to give them a simple response that we're not going to talk with you until you start holding accountable the Democrats who are actually in power.
Including Dennis Lundgren and all the sellouts and lefties at Colorado Politics.
You mean Ernest?
I think that's everyone. I think everyone in the media, we can consider engaging with them once they actually start doing their job, right? And I want to make this point, right? The Democrats have an election coming up for their own party offices. But you don't see a dedicated story by Kyle Clark or any of these other folks trying to make their candidates look crazy. It's all about the Republicans looking crazy. Right. And the question everyone should ask themselves is, who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares with who the Republicans actually elect? They're not in power.
Right.
Well, and I think Republicans need to do a better job. And again, it comes down to money, because you're right. The guy with the money in Colorado is Anschutz, who isn't helpful. But, to like you said, with the media, to engage somehow or another, to get, like, for instance, the Colorado Times Recorder, right, which portrays itself as a news site. But it's a Democrat propaganda tool.
So it's better. The Colorado Times Recorder is better than Anschutz's Colorado
politics. What I mean is Republicans, I wish somebody who had money in the Republican Party, that's something that we need, I think, also, because like you said, the Denver Post isn't going to do a legitimate. I mean, and the more you see, half of these media organizations are funded by, for instance, their climate change grants they get. So, the Democrat Party.
I think it's a simple solution to tell the media, we're not going to talk to you until you cover the corruption of the Democrats who are in power. Here's a suggestion. Here's what Polis did to, take money and give it to his friends, or some other corruption story, and say, when you cover that, come back to us.
Well, in the meantime, with Twitter being, at least for the time being, is, not censoring nearly as much, I think that, frankly, the Republican Party needs the media less, right? You can get your message out on your own.
Yeah, we need to look for different ways and avenues to reach, people. And what sucks about it is, the earned media route is cut off really from us, because the media in charge in Colorado, and definitely around the nation, but sure in Colorado, they don't ever want to talk to us and give us good, fair coverage. So why talk to them? I don't know why we want to play their game. Let's play our own game.
But all they're going to do is use it against you. That's absolutely true.
All right, Dave. Well, thanks so much. I've tried to kind of buck you up and get you optimistic and get ready for the new year.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll consider running if Chuck gives me his full-fledged endorsement to take over the car.
Yeah. Catches all the party, right?
All right, Dave. Thanks so much. Good to talk to you.
Here, we'll see you later.
Yeah, good talking to you too.
All right, thank you. You know, and Chuck, actually, because we can... So this is just a text. So Rev has been riding a bike, even though it's like freezing cold outside. And he was going to go ride down this giant hill. And I was like, please don't do it while you're on the show. And he texted me, I made it down the hill.
Yay.
We don't have to keep, we don't have to interrupt the show to go do.
Now come up the hill.
Yeah, now coming up the hill is hard. You know, hey, TJ, if you want to go ahead and call Rich Wyatt, we were going to talk to Rich Wyatt also. And while we're doing that, though, I think Friday's discussion is going to be really good. Really? We're going to talk about this Patrick Davis article about how to destroy the Republican Party.
No.
Under the guise of saving it. Yeah. All right. And then Carl Honegger, who was just great talking about the Democrat dark money that gets thrown around. And if nothing else, I think if you're we need to, can't dissolve the Republican Party because we need to make some of the Democrats. Well, I guess they wouldn't have to spend any money if that wasn't. But there is something, you do say something to that. I mean, it is sort of like then we would, I don't agree with it, but I think your thinking is what we would do is all then go ahead and vote for the secret, have secret Republicans run as Democrats, then, right? Reverse psychology. Hey, we've got Rich Wyatt with us.
Hey, Rich.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
This is the new Pizza King. He's taken over Evergreen with his pizzeria. Congratulations.
Our family bought Anthony's Pizza. You guys have to bring the kid up and come up for some pie.
You got it. Well, I don't know how to introduce you. Former TV star, grassroots activist, guy all around involved in politics and stuff out there in Jefferson County.
Good days and a few bad days, as we all do.
What? We were talking to... Yes, I was a big boy. We were talking to Dave Williams about the future of the Republican Party, and I think a lot of the future depends on the leadership that'll be elected in. All right, just assume for the sake of argument that there is a future. What do you see going on leadership wise? Who's in? Who's out? What do you think?
Well, number one, I'm so thankful that Chrissy Burton Brown fired herself, because if she'd had a boss, it would have been done months ago.
Right.
And it's just a tragedy that she just kept failing. And so she's gone, and that's the good news. Now we have to get somebody that's strong and has principles and moral fiber that stands up for what they believe and can accomplish something. And not this kumbaya, bring everybody together, because that can't be done. What we have to do is stand on principle and moral fiber. We cannot allow the Republican Party to be the Democrat light party, or to be the Rhino party, or to be the can't we all just get along party, because that's not what Democrats and Republicans are about. And so if we don't get somebody with strength and power and initiative to move forward and get this done in the state of Colorado, we're in huge trouble. The fact that, you know, Christie wouldn't sign on to stop the open primaries is just proof that she needed to go.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, there might be something to that, you know, but combining you and Chuck, I mean, if the Republican Party has not a lot to look forward to here for the next few years, which I think is probably true, given the way the elections are going, you know, maybe you don't have to worry about courting the Phil Anschutzes. We don't have to say, well, who's got a good Rolodex of donors, right? Because it's not going to make any difference.
Let's get a segment of the Democratic Party for us. Let's become the tranny party. We'll have drag queens, all things, and everything else, and it'll just be great. I mean, we've got more drag queens in the Republican Party who pretend they're Republicans, that we could get that vote down, and we could concentrate on
it. It would be sexual in nature.
You know,
it would
be like,
you be Democrat or a Republican. That's true.
We got all
these people that just don't agree with the tenets of the party. But they, for some reason, they want to be attached to us, which is nuts, you know. But we have to get somebody with huge credibility that can go in there. You know, I mean, listen, I know Phil Anschutz and his son, and I understand why Phil's the way he is. And well, not totally, but partially. And, you know, and I get it. I've done business with him, which is difficult, to say the least. And, you know, and socially. But, you know, who cares If he's not running it, don't let him buy somebody to run it. That's
right.
The problem we
exactly.
have. We let right. these people in there, and they're beholden to the money, not the principles.
Right, right. And I think that's what happened with Christy Burton Brown. You know, she started
totally.
Grassroots and then, you know, like you said, was bought. And I think the new Republican Party leadership needs to understand that they don't have to worry about being bought, because even if they are bought, we're not going to win the governorship anyway.
Somebody's going to buy them.
Right. Well,
look at even, guys, and it's the same thing, and nothing against you guys, because I know you guys and I love you guys, but the conservative talk show hosts are not conservative anymore.
No.
Well,
and, Rhino,
you know,
it's 710 Rhino.
Except for Randy.
Other than Randy and Backbone Radio, late Saturday, late Sunday, all the rest of it's just Rhino special.
Right. Well,
and they say things that are crazy, you know. You know, how could you say this about Christy? Well, because it was true. That's how, you know.
While
she stabbed you in the back.
Look at that. I mean, that's Salem, and I'm not so sure Salem is you know, a MAGA company. You know,
they're
more
MAGA than Colorado is.
I mean, Fox is too.
They at least paid for 2,000 mules.
Oh, that's true. Rich, who do you see? Who do you like, or are you willing to name names yet?
I don't see anybody that's rising to the top like I would like to, you know, and of course before Christy Burton Brown ran, you know, I said, I'll throw my name in the hat because I'm not going to let her run. But now that she's out, you know, somebody better will come along and do it. I don't need to do it. And
maybe Dave Williams. That wasn't a hard no from Dave, was it? I think Dave Williams would be good, frankly.
No. And there's other people that have thrown their name up that have absolutely no qualifications whatsoever to be in there, and they need to just go away. But they never do. They just keep popping up their head. And what I worry about is that people will throw their name in the hat. You know, I've heard the name of Laurel Eimer pop up, and if she throws her name in the hat, she just takes votes away. She's never going to get elected to anything in her life. You know, it's not happening.
Well, we disagree a little bit about Laurel, but on the other hand, though, I think, you know, one thing I haven't, I guess Heidi Ginnall. Somebody was mentioning Heidi Ginnall, although I thought she had said no. You aren't seeing very much in the way of establishment people, right? At least I have not been hearing any of that yet. And you kind of wonder if maybe they're sitting out, or maybe, as Dave indicated, maybe they're just waiting for the holidays to be over. It's like, why start getting attacked before New Year's? I don't know.
I think you're right, Julie. I don't think anybody's going to throw their name in the hat before the first of the year and then come out swinging for 3 months and get the job done. You know, I know there's some different people that have stuck their toe in the water to see how the temperature was, but you know, we'll see what happens. And you know, I think it is critical that we find the right person and send them forward, even though it's going to be a daunting job because the opportunity to succeed is incredibly limited.
Right. Well, let me ask you, this is Chuck's theory, and he's not joking. At first, I thought he was joking, but this is along the lines of Charlene, who's like, you know, one of our listeners who says, just leave the Republican Party.
Not leave,
but
dissolve.
Chuck has amended that to dissolve it, and then we can all be sort of do what the Democrats do. We'll just vote in the Democrat races and have like fake Republicans run. Yeah. Like you could run as a Democrat and we'd all vote for you. And so
that would go over well. That would be like a, you know, lead balloon, you know, Rich Wyatt, Democrat. I think I've already set the tone. But listen, you know, I get the concept. I agree with Chuck conceptually on the idea. I just think the implementation would be virtually impossible right now. I think we probably, unfortunately, are headed towards disaster in many, many ways. And I think before we split this party and come up with a new party or dissolve this party, you know, we end up in some type of a civil war, because people are tired of being lied, cheated, and stolen from. And that's what's happening. You know, when you put a Joe Biden up there and you tell us that this guy's actually the president, and anybody that believes that is too stupid to have a job or a pulse. And so, you know, and anybody that thinks that the election wasn't stolen, you know, they call us election deniers, you know, who call us whatever you want, but stop naming us and start fixing the problem. People have been arrested and convicted for stuffing the ballot boxes, and they're Democrats. Now, I don't know
the election down in Maricopa was totally online. How could you, when you say that wasn't totally online, you're hurting our democracy.
Yeah,
I mean, that Dusty Rhodes or whatever her name is a total crook.
Stop I'm going to bring another ray of optimism here.
Another ray. Here's another ray.
I think, though, the next few, maybe year or two, I mean, assuming that let me back up. Twitter, I think, had a lot of impact. I know that not that many people actually probably follow Twitter a lot, but Twitter drove a lot of the narratives. And now when we're learning to what extent the deep state and the Democrats and the elites canceled certain speeches and certain facts and then promoted other things. And I think that's gone. So I think it's going to be a little bit harder for them to just flat out destroy people. So in other words, to say you're an election denier, you're a threat to our democracy, destroyed. And of course, unless the FBI arrests you.
But
I mean, I think
Department of Justice will help you out.
Wait, are you saying that the government would arrest people for what they said? I find this shocking.
That's what they're telling us. But I mean, there's hope there. But I also kind of think that I agree with Dave Williams in that, you know, okay, yeah, I think we need to be realistic and say, yeah, no, we're not going to win the governorship. And that's not
waste. We've got to go for that dog catcher position in East in Longmont. And we'll take it. And then we'll build from there.
The people with dogs in Longmont have, right? You start
Chuck, killing me, brother.
I think though, but you can start with looking on that.
I got to tell you, I hate to say this, but you know, it's almost time to switch from ballots to bullets, because that's what wins the hearts and minds. And there's no arguing with a bullet. You can argue about ballots, but you cannot argue with bullets. And the bottom line is our Constitution is crystal clear that if we ask for a redress to fix the problems of the government not dealing with us squarely or fairly like the British did, then we are to attack and to defend our country and Constitution at all costs.
And that's why they're going after the Army. That's why they're making sure that everybody in the Army is taken out.
Well, they have, but it doesn't matter, because the British had the biggest standing army in the world, and they said, you can't do this, and we did it. Farmers and ranchers and people with muskets in the woods hiding out and idiots walking down the street in red coats, and they lost. And so,
well, you know, we had a guy in the show the other day.
They didn't have the biggest standing army. The French did.
They thought they did.
They found out otherwise.
The other day on the show we talked about, we're all dissidents there. And, you know, there's something to what you're saying, Rich. And I think in that, for instance, I think the government has done some overreaching. And there's a reason I think they're not trying to make us all wear masks again, because I think they know people just would not. Right. I think it's time. Some of the stuff going on with some of the drag queens, the sexualization of children, there are parents standing up and saying, hey, wait, no, we're just not going to do that. And I think the more that people do that, I think that, and again, Twitter, I think with Elon Musk makes it harder to sort of just completely demonize and destroy people. And you are hearing other views. And I think the more you hear the other view, you're like, oh, I'm not the only one who thinks that. I'm not the only one who thinks that I shouldn't have to make my toddler wear a mask at preschool, you know?
Society, they've collapsed the society, you know, by a thousand cuts. They're killing us. If you look at, I remember when I was a kid, and I'm sure you guys do too, that your mom and dad taught you when you were a little kid to look both ways before you cross the street. People don't look both ways before they cross the street now. Go to any grocery store and they just walk right out in front of your car like idiots, you know? I mean, it's just the dumbest thing I've ever seen. When we are dealing with a population that is as stupid as they are, you know, John Wayne said it best, you can't fix stupid.
No, but you know, again, there's a certain Darwinian effect that goes into effect. If you got all these people not watching what they're doing,
if you're watching these people keep on taking these booster shots, I mean, they're not Republicans. I mean, this could be a good deal. We got to keep on promoting Pfizer and telling people it's time to get their newest heart attack.
Get another one of those other booster shots. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And they cracked me up because they try to say, hey, how come you're not taking them? I said, because I don't want to. They said, well, you need to take it. Well, why? Well, because you're endangering everybody else. Well, if your shot was so good, what do you care what I'm doing?
Right. Well, I think that's not even working anymore. I mean, people, you know, the states and the cities, you know, they have their stockpiled because nobody, some statistic, it was like literally like one in like a million. No, it wasn't that bad, but nobody's getting the booster shots, right? Because people are like, no, thanks, I'm good. Even if you don't want to say they don't work, you're like, no, my neighbor just keeled over. My 14-year-old neighbor just keeled over of myocarditis. Hey. And so,
you know, I lost a good friend. He was a deputy chief out there. in Aurora. He worked for the Aurora Police, then he worked for CU Health, and a great guy in good shape. And he just fell over dead. And, you know, I just got to say, well, man, I wish he hadn't got that shot, you know.
Yeah.
And so we don't know what that's going to bring us in the population of America in the future. And the things are, you know, everybody thinks you're, you know, some kind of a crazy conspiracy nut. But these aren't crazy conspiracies. These are realistic. You know, I realize the Earth's not flat, and I get that somebody landed on the moon. But they cheated in the election, and they're jamming us up with the jab. And the government is out to take over, and that's clear as a bell, you know?
Right.
And,
but I read a thing the other day that was pretty funny. It said Noah was a conspiracy theorist until it started to rain.
That's a good one.
Yeah, there's some truth to that, too.
Well, luckily, we passed at $1.7 trillion, and the Republicans got some military spending, and then they got Democrats got everything else, along with $50 billion more for the Ukraine. We need to move to the Ukraine. I mean, there must be all kinds of opportunities for that.
Economic forum.
And then the head of BlackRock is going to help invest, apparently, Mr. Fink. So,
well, I've got this guy that hired these Ukrainian artists to do these paintings for this art studio that he's opening up. And they got going, and they did everything. And then they just sent him a message the other day. Says, hey, we're doubling our prices. So I guess things aren't as bad over there as they think.
No,
that's right.
Yeah,
we'll give you an opportunity here to tell us about your pizza place real quick before we let you go.
Yeah. Where's it located exactly?
We're up in Evergreen, next to the Safeway, right on Evergreen Parkway. It's been here for a long time, and it's a great New York style pizza joint. My wife and my daughters. My daughter was working there, and so she liked it. So we decided we'd buy it and make it into a family restaurant, and that's what we're doing. And we're having a great time, and I've never made pizzas before, but I guess the Italian, which is, I don't have any of it in me, is coming out.
There you go.
So we're making a great, great New York pie, and we'd love to have you guys come up.
We'll be there.
All right,
guys.
Thanks for your time. It's appreciated.
Good to talk to you. Take care. Happy New Year.
Thanks. Happy New Year, guys. I love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, the last few seconds, I did want to kind of talk a little bit about this whole deep state. And because I know there's so many.
What deep state?
All the Twitter files that are being released. But I was even asking you, did you read this latest? And you're like, no, they're new ones. It's all. But I think the one thing that's become clear is, and I thought this, the guy, and now I apologize, I can't, it wasn't Matt Taibbi, it was the other one. But he was.
Schellenberger.
Yeah, he was writing, this was really good. He was saying, because I think this guy is not a conservative, right?
None of them are.
None of them are. And he was saying, but you know, if any of you, for like the past, I think he said decade, you know, you've kind of had the feeling that things were just not really quite right, that people were either overreacting to stuff that seemed stupid, or they were underreacting to things that seemed somewhat important. And then they're telling us we have to wear masks, and that and anybody who asked a question was immediately shamed to put down. He said you just had this unsettled sense that things
the
just
world wasn't quite right.
That it wasn't quite right. And all of a sudden now, like he said, what has been revealed in the Twitter files is just how true that was. It was, you know, I mean, it wasn't like you're thinking that there was a puppet master. There very definitely was a puppet master. And the puppet master is the FBI. It's the CIA in collusion with the global elites.
D&I.
I mean, all of these super spy agencies that keep telling us about domestic terrorism.
And how much do you think that the family that's owned the New York Times for over 200 years actually controls the New York Times anymore?
Well, I mean,
it doesn't. The FBI and the CIA control the the Washington Post and the New York Times.
What's clear, because they do it through, I mean, and Elon Musk had said, it wasn't just Twitter, they were doing it at Google. He talked about how Google makes links just disappear, right?
Right.
He talked about Google, which is the Washington Post, same owner, right? Well, no, not Google, he owns Amazon. But but he talked about all the impact on these big tech companies, which, as you said, have all the ties to the media. And it got to the point, I mean, so they had direct portals where the FBI and the CIA were, I mean, there were all these, and then now what, we're finding out that dozens of former CIA and FBI agents work at Facebook as well. It's like Tucker said, why do you need spies working at Facebook?
Because they're a spy organization.
Specifically targeting a narrative that they didn't, whatever it was, right? Yeah, whether it was about transgender rights or COVID or the election or whatever, just Disney, right? They didn't, Ukraine, Brazil. I mean, they didn't, if they didn't like it, they would just send Twitter lists of things saying, delete these accounts, and Twitter would be like, okay.
And they and realized that the Brazilian government was controlled by Sarah. And nonetheless, the opposition controlled the Brazilian election through Twitter. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
The depths and other social media companies, too. I think that's the thing you got to realize. And Elon Musk has indicated that, you know, the mainstream media is deeply embedded in all of this, is deep in bed with all of this. And I think it is.
And we're waiting for them to take us over anytime they want to, you know.
Well, and I think the good thing is, like I was saying earlier, you realize, OK, we weren't crazy. The things did seem a little bit off. It wasn't just our thinking they must be censoring us. And again, not only censoring certain, you know, anybody who asks questions, but specifically pushing other narratives like masks work, they don't work, they work, they don't work, get the jab, blah, blah, blah. All of that, they were pushing that hard, and that's gone away now. But the depths to which they were embedded in these social media, and still are in some of them.
I'm waiting for the ones more on Fauci that Twitter's indicated there's plenty more of him and his evil ways. That's one little toad that needs to be burned at the stake.
Well, you know, and like he's, I mean, you know, criminal. Some of these things that were going on were criminal, clearly unconstitutional. You know, you can't have the government. And by the government, I don't mean Joe Biden. Joe Biden is much a mass, you know, a puppet on a string also.
I think, well, yeah, he's not even a puppet. He's a dead corpse.
Exactly.
Stand up with the shittiest looking
wife. I just think I encourage everybody to go ahead and take a read of some of those things. If you haven't already, they could be
if you know anybody at the FBI who'd be interested in taking us over.
exactly. Hey, so on Friday, actually, we've got a bunch of stuff coming up. On Friday, we're going to have Carl Honegger talk about how the Democrat dark money that's getting poured into Republican elections and how that should play out as we decide new leadership going on. Brian June Depp on Monday talking about all this deep stuff. And because he asked, who watches the watchers? Basically, right? That's the big question we need to know now. In the meantime, though, thank you to Dave and Rich. It's good to see everybody. I hope everybody had a wonderful holiday.
Yeah, I hope you had a great time and have a happy new year. And
we'll be back Friday.
And we'll be there to celebrate with you Friday.
See you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Friday.